Adventures of an Optimist is subtitled as a progress report on the 400-year project to help you improve 20 times faster. And the dedication reads, "This book is dedicated to all unborn children in hope that they can inherit and flourish in a world filled with health, happiness, peace, prosperity, and love. My interest is in the future because I'm going to spend the rest of my life there." Charles Franklin Kettering. Peter Drucker once advised me to be sure that I always tell people in my books that I want them to stop doing most of what they already do and take up more important and useful activities instead. All of the prior books I've co-authored have aimed to shift attention toward working on different, more useful tasks that almost always lead to breakthroughs, and then provided how-to advice for performing those new tasks. Adventures of an Optimist doesn't take that path. Instead, this book has a broader purpose: to show you the benefits of shifting your attention from day-to-day concerns and incremental improvements towards learning how to make breakthroughs in areas with the most potential benefits for you and everyone else. To show the significance of this attention shift, I describe a vision of a vastly better world that could be created through your efforts and enjoyed in your lifetime by you, your children, and your grandchildren in the book's background briefing. From there, the book looks at the origins of the 400-year project to make 400 years worth of normal improvements between the years 2015 and 2035 in part one. In part two, I share the lessons that have been learned so far through the project. In part three, you'll see my prescriptions for how the project can be accomplished. In the epilogue, you'll find a description of how you can play a role in this grand activity. In Adventures of an Optimist, you'll find lots to inspire you. Whether you want to experience extraordinary activities on a modest budget, build a billion-dollar business, show people how to lift themselves out of poverty, eliminate harmful pollution in profitable ways, or just increase your daily time with loved ones, this book outlines the pathways to get you there. Once inspired, you should read and apply the how-to books on making breakthroughs that I've already written, which are briefly described in this book, and those how-to books that will come in the future. In those other books, you'll find the questions and how-to information you need to go from being ordinary to performing at extraordinary levels in what's most important. As you read each chapter in Adventures of an Optimist, you'll feel like you're visiting a new country where people think and talk differently. As you respond to that feeling, be sure to realize that these chapters are all connected together, much like the countries in continental Europe are part of the same landmass. The connections come from my experience, my perspective, and the 400-year project's work and plans. Be sure to connect the dots among the chapters to see the overall picture. So how did this project all start? Peter Drucker asks a question and makes an observation. "We always carry out by committee anything in which any one of us alone would be too reasonable to persist." Frank Moore Colby. It was now early 1995. Carol Coles and I had been meeting with Peter Drucker two or three times annually to review what the learning organizations were doing and to get his advice on how to improve. It was exciting to hop on the plane to California from Boston, knowing all the great things we had to share with Peter. On this occasion, he shifted our focus. He asked a new question: "How many of these new developments are you learning from your members, and how many are you developing from your own thoughts?" Considering the last year's results, we realized that although the members were doing a great job of defining what they wanted to know, we had drained the insights members could provide from their experiences. The new processes, solutions, and breakthroughs were coming from work that Carol and I were doing. We admitted that to Peter. He noted that if that were true, these learning organizations were holding back the innovations that Carol and I could develop and deliver. We agreed to think about his observation. His question was like the emotional impact of being hit by a surprise earthquake. We were reeling with the implications for weeks. Nagged by that suggestion, I realized that a totally new approach was needed. Other seeds started to germinate that I had gathered from my observations about the nature of making rapid improvements. Here was the conclusion: The fastest current rate of progress could be replaced by much more rapid improvements when better sharing of knowledge was tied to focusing existing attitudes and habits into more helpful directions. The rest of this book tells the complete story of how the project was born and flourished, as well as what the solutions will enable making 20 times faster worldwide improvements from 2015 through 2035. How was the announcement received when we initially shared this concept with other people? The listeners gape. No man would listen to you talk if he didn't know it was his turn next. Edgar Watson Howe. How would I have reacted if someone had invited me to such an event and then sprung an announcement of the sort I was about to make at the end? I probably would have been puzzled. Why? If the announcement was so important, why not make the announcement in the beginning and spend the day working on practical details? My instinct had been quite different. Help everyone see how much untapped potential there was in the world by spotlighting what some outstanding people were already doing, and then excite everyone about doing something to grasp even more untapped potential. I had another incentive to put my announcement at the end and keep it brief. I really didn't know any more than my listeners did about what to do next. How long can you spend telling everyone that you propose to blindfold yourself and lead them forward while they wear blindfolds as well? You can debate the best kind of blindfolds to wear, but the point isn't very interesting compared to describing the route for a successful journey. I was reminded of levitation. The first clear hop of the project was to 2015, when we would have spelled out how to make 400 years worth of progress from 2015 to 2035. The next clear hop was to celebrate the results in 2035, God willing that we were all still alive. The third hop was to draw on the successful experience to launch an even better improvement method after that. Suddenly brimming with confidence, I rose to make a few brief remarks. I remember clearly how everyone was smiling as I commented on and thanked each speaker for remarkable insights and candor. Then I began explaining the 400-year project, as I began calling it that day. I'm afraid I didn't explain the idea nearly as well as I do now, and I need to improve my current explanation quite a lot. The smiles soon began to fade and were replaced, in many cases, by puzzled looks and even dropped jaws. Realizing I was losing some of my audience, I decided to keep my remarks even shorter than I had initially intended and to use most of my time to answer questions. But I was encouraged to see some people smiling more brightly, even if their faces showed some puzzlement. Helpers rushed forward. There are 50 ways to leave your lover, but only 6 exits from this airplane. Southwest Airlines announcement. Fortunately, such outstanding leaders as those who attended this gathering were accustomed to the idea of stepping out to make a major commitment without knowing exactly how to proceed. Someone mentioned that it was like when John F. Kennedy first became president and proposed sending an astronaut to the moon and back before 1970. A number of people quickly came forward to wish me good luck and to offer their assistance. Before the afternoon was over, we had a steering committee of terrifically talented people. I promised to keep them informed of our progress and reminded them to save the date for the vernal equinox in 1996. Buoyed by that reaction, I wanted to find out what my Mitchell & Company colleagues had to say. They expressed more reserved support. How would I be able to pursue such a large project and still lead our consulting firm? What would their roles be? I had no easy or reassuring answers for them. I acknowledged their concerns and promised to keep their concerns in mind as I organized the project. So, given that I was working on this project, how did I start reviewing books? I pay attention to good advice. I've had several years in Hollywood, and I still think the movie heroes are in the audience. William Misner. Although I began writing book reviews before co-authoring The Irresistible Growth Enterprise, I didn't become committed to this path until well after that book came out. It was in late 2000 that I discovered that book reviews could be used to bring attention to what should be read and applied and to steer attention away from what would be harmful or a waste of time. My younger son, Mark, played a big role inspiring the learning in this chapter. When the 2000% solution was about to be published, Mark told me that Amazon.com reviews by ordinary customers and readers would be a large influence on the book's sales. Boy, was he ever right. With enough people being guided to the books that are most helpful to the 400-year project, I expect that ideas for an implementation of the project will be greatly advanced. Over 5 million people now read one of my reviews each year. As time passes, the audience will probably grow to tens of millions. When I am joined by other reviewers who favor the 400-year project as it is occurring now, the potential influence on bringing support to the project grows exponentially. So, what's needed now for organizations to prosper? Moving from the specific to share the general lesson. The lessons taught in great books are misleading. The commerce in life is rarely so simple and never so just. Anita Bruckner. By 2002, it was clear to me the most adept CEOs shared one common element. They had prospered by repeatedly upgrading their business models, these seven elements of their commerce. Who, what, when, why, where, how, and how much, every 3 to 5 years. With increased global competition, the correct frequency of such business model innovations would undoubtedly increase. Since some types of business model improvements can be much less disruptive than others, such as adding complementary offerings, I saw no obvious limit to such increased frequency. This observation about continuing business model innovation was also significant to the 400-year project. If organizations began to focus on rapid business model innovations, performance improvements could be added rapidly. Without this improved leadership capability, the sources of many prospective benefits from the 400-year project might lie fallow, waiting for leaders to get around to work on them. The real barrier to continuing business model innovation was that most organizations did not have this most important task on their agendas. Instead, leaders in the rank and file focus on doing the old tasks better and better. The fact that these old tasks were obsolete didn't seem to occur to anyone, or if it did, they kept quiet lest anyone shoot the messenger. The time had come to issue a clarion call to make continuing business model innovation job one. I decided to write a book to do just that, The Ultimate Competitive Advantage. Then let me talk a little bit about beginning to learn how to apply these lessons from teaching. From my teaching experience, I realized I needed to put more fun and accomplishment into my tutorials. Many people find themselves stuck in a rut. They cannot see any other ways to look at an opportunity or issue than the perspective they've always used. What they don't appreciate is the work they've already done in thinking about the course opens up vast new opportunities that they cannot perceive because they're stuck in their usual thinking habits. Send that stalled student off to consult with colleagues, and the student usually comes back with great ideas and filled with joy. Why? Colleagues are invariably impressed with the work that's been done so far and point out the implications for accomplishing more results that are already present in the work. It's like an opera singer getting an unexpected standing ovation during a small part. After that introduction to the student's work, colleagues inquire about progress on a regular basis and offer more suggestions. The student has now become a thought leader, something the student may not have experienced before in that organization. And more thought leaders are just what the 400-year project needs. Well, having worked a lot in organizations, it began to occur to me need to spend some time thinking about the personal implications. Inspired by creative living. Everyone's an artist. It's just that they're inhibited. Yoko Ono. There's an old saying about how happiness is spending a little less than you earn, and agony is spending more. Would all of the improvements the project aimed to achieve be a blessing or a curse? The 400-year project needed another dimension. Make wise choices to capture a more worthwhile life. Otherwise, huge increases in abundance and wealth would only generate exponential increases in dissatisfaction, resulting from even larger gains in envy, overspending, and excess borrowing. What's the main opportunity then? To see what's in front of one's nose requires a constant struggle. George Orwell. What if breakthroughs could have multiplier effects on other breakthroughs? Multiplying exponential improvements through connecting solutions that enhance others' results provided the breakthrough concept we've been waiting for in developing the 400-year project. Keep multiplying the right exponential improvements, and you could compress 400 years worth of normal improvements into just a few years. Although we continue to seek alternate methods of speeding improvements by 20 times, clearly the existing method for generating 2,000% solutions gives us the foundation for planning how to provide the improvements that would normally be implemented by 2435 in 2035.